It's been such a tremendous time so far. And I'm sure we all feel tremendous privilege. I know I do. And I just want to encourage you tonight, in whatever we do, just flow with what the Holy Spirit's doing and be quick to enter in and be quick to help me. Rod knows how to get a guy down. We're fellow coaches, and as I was standing in the bathroom there, he came and he says, "A little pregame jitters." I thought, "Yeah, thanks, Rod. Thanks for pointing that out. I don't need any help with that, anyway." It's a tremendous, tremendous privilege to get up front here, and it's not something that I ever take lightly. I don't even like to take lightly when service is approaching at home. About halfway through the week, it's time to start buckling down and start praying and really pressing in, because we don't want to be about our agenda, do we? We want to do what God wants us to do, and we want to be about His business. That's what we're here for. It's not about us. We're just a privileged people to be a part of what God is doing, and it's something that I really appreciated what Marcus said last night about Brother Livingston as he would prepare for the camp meetings. And he would lay down and speak in tongues and praise the Lord and moan before the Lord, his wife said, for a good week. And I can understand that. I'm sure I would feel like doing the same thing. And speaking in tongues and letting the Holy Spirit have His way. So anyway, that's what I'd like us to do tonight. Just let the Holy Spirit have His way. I would like to read one thing to you. If you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. I've really lately, last while, been enjoying this book. This book, there's nothing like it, is there? I lead a little Bible study at my school. It's called Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And the Fellowship of Christian Athlete Bible says across the front of it, God's game plan. God's game plan, and it is. And I tell these kids, this is the book right here. You're not going to find another book like this anywhere. And I've really been enjoying lately. Okay, reading this book. It's just been a joy. It's like every morning you get up. And we've been encouraged so many times in these few days to read the Word, haven't we? There is nothing like it. You get up, and whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, if you have time, it's an adventure. And you open the pages and you start reading, and God starts making it alive. And it's just, I look forward to it. And when I don't get it, I feel like I've been robbed. And we've been encouraged to get into this book, to spend time in it. Anyway, I'd like to just share something that I've been reading, or something that's been on my mind for a while. I've been reading through the epistles, and something Brian said last night, he said, and I think you said it over there, and he talked about the new norm, the new normal, and it really struck a chord in my heart, and he said, the new normal, what God wants is, I'll try to paraphrase what you said, Brian, is healings and miracles and God working through us. Amen. You know, it says, greater works shall you do. Can you imagine it? Greater works shall you do than I did, Jesus said. And I was reading back a while through Ephesians, and I was just, I guess more than anything, challenged. And what Brian said kind of went along with what I felt that I was, that God was challenging me for sure. And I'll just start on verse 14, this chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to his riches, to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power. Isn't that what we need? We need his power. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We're not strong in ourselves. I know I'm not. But we are strong. We are more than conquerors through Christ who indwells us. Anyway, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. That's where it comes from. In the inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, we were told in prophecy last night about how important love is, that you be rooted, just imagine your feet being planted, their roots, down into love. Rooted and grounded in love. And may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. And I wrote here the 3D of love. The width, the height, the depth of love that just fills the entire universe. That we might start to understand it. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Knowledge doesn't touch it. That you may be filled up to the fullness of God. He wants us to be filled up to the fullness of God in his love. I think that's what Brian was saying. The new normal. I want to press in toward that new normal, don't you? You know, I live down here in the States, and I don't see a hope in our system. I definitely don't want one party, but I'm a little bit concerned about the other one too. But we have a hope. He wants to fill us to the fullness of God. Now verse 20. This is where I really wanted to read. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we think or ask. Megan. Exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can even think or ask. According to the power that works within us. So why is that power in us right now? Because Jesus is in you. Amen. And it says back in verse 1, that power that's available to us It says it's the very power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's already in us, but we want to see it manifest through us, don't we, Brian? We want to see it work through us.
Hallelujah.
That's what I want to strive for, is the new normal. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to press on, like it says in Philippians chapter 3, press on for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what it's talking about. Anyway, I don't want to spend much more time because I think that's all I better speak to you. But I'm excited. I've been excited for a while. I've been tired too. Teaching seems to take way more and more out of me all the time. Did you find that, Merv? I just put in my 30th year, and I think that was the year you retired, wasn't it?
I sure did.
Yeah. And I'm a little bit jealous, but I have a 7th grade boy over there, and he'll be in my class this year and next year. And I definitely am not going to miss that opportunity. But anyway, I've been excited because God is moving and He's working in all of our hearts, and He's trying to light that fire under our rear to get us motivated.
Hallelujah.
Because times are changing.
Yes.
And we got to move with the Spirit. We got to keep up with what God's doing. So anyway, praise God. I just want to encourage you today. And should we do this now? Or we're going to take take an offering tonight for the expenses of the camp. And Daryl talked to you this morning about that. And if you're going to write a check, write it to Sharon Pacific Schools. Sharon Pacific Coast Camp. Okay. So,
U.S. dollars.
You have to do it in U.S. dollars?
If you're Canadian, write USD.
Oh, okay. Okay. Did you guys get that? If you're Canadian, write it in U.S. dollars. Or U.S., yeah. Okay. Could we have maybe 4 deacons? Is Dan Levson here? I'd like to, Dan, could you ask the blessing on the offering and just the service, please?
Praise God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together with your people. We pray, Lord, that your anointing, your presence would be here throughout this whole meeting.
Amen.
Guiding every thought on our hearts, Lord, and help us to be united together in one spirit. As we've heard, to be united in the Spirit until we come into the unity of the faith. Father, we pray your blessing on this offering as well, Lord, that we'll give generously from our heart, and that you will bless us in return. Not necessarily financially, Lord, but you love a giving heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to ask any singers who would like to come and join me up here. Any young people? Skylar, are you out there? I appreciated Skylar. Sorry I put Skylar on the spot. But anyone else? Don't make him be the only one. Young people? I appreciated Skylar because the first night when I was up here, he was right behind me. And I just really appreciated how he belts it out. And as they're coming, one time I went to a service in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, with my brother Joe. And Joe taught me something I never forgot, and I've always appreciated it. He sang with all that was within him. Amen. If I were talking to a team that I was coaching, I would say, I want you to bring it tonight. I want you to give God your all. His word says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So, just sing unto the Lord with all your heart tonight as we sing. What was the last song that we sang over there? I Love You, Lord? It was that one, and there was one, I think. I Exalt Thee. Let's start with that song. I'm not sure where it's at. Here's a songbook for you guys. 24 in the back. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Is Lord of all. Page 78 in the Red Book. Key of F, it says.
Jesus,
Lord.
Says,
let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and
58, the old rugged cross. On a hill far
far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till like trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. On that old cross, Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till it trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old
exchange it someday for a crown.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here I Am, O Lord, page 19 in the back. Amen. May this be the prayer of our hearts. Is that the right one? Oh, yeah. Page 18, I think. This one? I don't know this one, do you guys? I think this is what you're wanting right here. Here am I, O Lord, waiting at your throne. All that really matters is knowing I'm your own. I give all myself. My heart, O Lord, make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord, may I be like you. Mold me and make Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight is a special night. Every night is a special night. Every morning is a special morning. And we're going to look to the Holy Spirit tonight to move in a special way. I have a few things I want to share with you first at the beginning. I'd like to ask at the very beginning of the meeting that those that have the ministry of intercession, that even now, just during the service, in your mind, in your heart, you start praying. You start looking to the Lord for this meeting here, for what the Lord wants to accomplish before we go to bed tonight. The church is built on the background, the backs of the intercessors, so if you have that gift, you just start praying right now privately. Before we start, I'd like to ask for prayer. We're going to just kind of pray a general prayer for the congregation. We've had a few people stung by bees today, multiple bee stings by a number of people. We've got one young man that doesn't feel well. And I would just like to have ask for a prayer, a general prayer for the congregation for a blessing tonight. And that even before the meeting is over, that those of not feeling well will begin to feel well already. And I'd like to ask you, Megan, if you would come up and pray for the whole congregation. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, and Lord, our hearts are so full with the work that you are doing in our midst, and Lord, we're so thankful. And Father, we bring the request to you for the healing of the bee stings and those that are not feeling well. Lord, we just pray that your life and your healing, your anointing would just flow throughout the congregation, would flow from one member to another, and that, Lord, you would just raise up your people, whatever the needs may be. be, that you would just lift your people up, Father, as we lift you up, Father. May you be glorified in our midst, and just be with us this evening, we pray. In your name, amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, first I want to talk very briefly about water baptism. That's how we're going to start tonight. We have a water baptism tentatively Friday afternoon after lunch. Now, if there's anyone here that wants to be baptized, would you please see me or one of the brethren, just give us your name. Let us know ahead of time. We would like to know ahead of time if you would like to be baptized. Now, when we have the water baptism, if you decide right there on the spot that you want to be baptized, you can be baptized right there on the spot. But if you can tell us ahead of time, we would appreciate that. So I'm going to start by just reading a little bit about water baptism. Forgive me for reading. This is actually from a Sharon Starr from 2003. Just a few bullet points about water baptism. And if you're interested in these notes, this is a Sharon Starr, November 2003. And if you want it, give me your email and I'll email it to you, or you can get it off the website. Just a few things about water baptism. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Where did it begin? God first instituted water baptism in preparation for the ministry of the Son of God. The synagogue in the time of Jesus was full of faithful worshipers who met each Sabbath and spoke of the coming Messiah. However, their compliance to the numerous religious laws could never bring them into a true fellowship with the King of Kings. One day outside their doors, disrobed of the comfortable garments of religion, stood a man named John proclaiming a new message of repentance. He made it clear that he was not the coming Messiah, but that he was preparing the way for the visitation of the true Lamb of God. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That's Luke 3, verse 3 through 4. John baptized multitudes of hungry souls that had grown weary of their own self-righteousness. He commanded them to repent, to change their minds, and to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Into the Jordan they would go, then John would totally immerse them in water, and out of the watery grave there would arise a new creation. Soon the Lamb of God, Jesus, arrived on the scene, Jesus, just as John had said. And to the amazement of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, asked to be baptized. That's pretty amazing. That signifies how important water baptism was and is. The Son of God chose to be baptized. John knew that the sinless Lamb of God had come to take away the sin of the world, and he had no need to be baptized. But Jesus was making a statement that day of the great importance God had placed on water baptism. Jesus said, "Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So there's a command from Jesus himself. Matthew 3:15. Water baptism continued through the ministry of Jesus and the apostles and continues on today as an important step in an individual's maturity and growth in Christ. Now, what are some of the elements involved in water baptism? Number one, repentance. First, as it was with John the Baptist, water baptism speaks of true repentance towards God. Repentance is simply acknowledging one's sins and turning from them to God. It is making a choice to turn away from sin and sinful living and walking in the direction of God. We heard about making a choice. I like what Brother Mersumble said about that. Make a choice. That's what repentance is. You're making a choice to turn away from something. John made it clear that those being baptized should bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. It should be evident that there is a difference in the baptized soul. When you're baptized, you don't just go down a wet center and come up a cleaner center, so to speak. But there should be a difference in your life. John said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. It should be evident. They were asked, John, what should we do? John replied with just some good practical advice that pertained to their time as well as ours. This is what John said. He who has two tunics, let him give it to one him who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise. To the tax collectors, he said, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Be honest. To the soldiers, he said, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely and be content with your wages. He was just giving practical advice on showing fruits of repentance. The other component of baptism is death. Death. Water, baptism, according to the Apostle Paul, really speaks of a death of the old sinful nature. When I was young, I thought that water baptism was a washing away of our sins, which it is in a nature. This is partially true. However, the true meaning is not the washing of the old nature, but a putting to death of the old nature. Water baptism speaks of burying the old nature, of rising up in the newness of life. The Bible says, do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. But just as Christ rose from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The third component is immersion. This is another important one. Going under the water, completely immersed, is as totally burying the dead. We totally immerse because baptism is a burial. In every recorded case of water baptism in the New Testament, you will find that the saints were totally immersed in water. They were never sprinkled. Sprinkling of water for baptism cannot be found anywhere in the Scriptures. A practice of sprinkling babies, of sprinkling, is never in the Scriptures. Can you imagine attending the funeral of a loved one when after all the good had been said and the service was concluded by sprinkling a little dirt on top of the casket in place of a full burial? This is in essence a comparison of sprinkling with water and total immersion in water. So baptism, we immerse in water because it's a burial. The fourth component, walking in newness of life. The baptized soul is commanded to walk in newness of life. How do you walk in newness of life? You make a choice to do it. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Romans 6, 11-12. Here's another important key. It's not a big deal to us, but the next thing I'm going to talk about to a lot of people is fighting words. It divides denominations. It even creates denominations. Does it matter what words are said over you at water baptism? There are people that will go to the grave believing you have to say certain words in a certain order, and if you don't, you're not saved. The simple answer to this is no. As one of the brethren said, it is not the formula that is important, it is the experience. Matthew 28 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's three names there. Mark 6:16 simply says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's all it said. He who believes. Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's three different examples of using different names. So the names doesn't matter. It's not the formula, it's experience. Baptism in water as well as in the Holy Spirit is a very important step along the road of growth and maturity in Christ. It is one of the progressive steps into perfection listed in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to get to that in a couple of minutes here. Now, how old should you be when you're baptized? Well, there is no scripture that declares the appropriate age for water baptism. What is important is that that person being baptized is old enough to truly understand their need to repent and accept Christ and repent and have an experience. A person should be old enough to willingly give himself or herself to the Lord. Now here's another one. How soon after giving your heart to Christ should you be baptized? It's a question. How soon? From the example of the Scriptures, it would be appropriate to answer this question simply as soon as is appropriate. The Philippian jailer was baptized by Paul within hours of giving his heart to the Lord. Acts 16:33, and he, the Philippian jailer, took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night, and washed his stripes. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Immediately after Philip had expounded the scriptures to the Ethiopian eunuch while traveling through the desert, the Ethiopian said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. A person should be baptized as soon as they can within reason. Within reason. So, sorry for reading so much verbiage there. Now I'm going to read one of the verses to you in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Two verses. The 6th chapter of Hebrews. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection." This is what the Lord wants. This is what camp meetings are all about. This is what walking with the Lord is all about. Going on into perfection. I was talking to someone, I can't remember who it was. I guess it was in North Carolina. We're talking about business. A business fails if they become stagnant. Businesses have to move forward, don't they? A business has to grow. You can't be stable. You can be stable for a while. There were people years ago that made a lot of money, very successful, selling Encyclopedia Britannica door to door. And they had some really good salesmen doing that. I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad bought one, and they were going to make us kids real smart, you know. But there were good jobs. People went door to door and sold and made a lot of money. And the Encyclopedia Britannica, they loved their success, and they stayed right there. And then the internet came. And CDs, floppy disks, and then CDs. And you never have someone knock on your door trying to sell you encyclopedias. But you have to move forward. And Jesus says the same thing. The Lord says the same thing. Leaving the discussion of the simple things, let us go on into perfection. We're going to look to the Lord tonight to go on to perfection a little bit further. And then he says, he mentions not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. What he's talking about, he quickly, in one verse, he quickly rehearses some powerful concepts. Powerful. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Well, what that means is that's where you have to start. You have to repent from dead works. You cannot save yourself. The first thing you and I need, every boy, every girl, every young person, every old person, we have to repent from our dead works. There's no foundation except Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. Someone mentioned today, Brother Sumble, there is only one way to heaven. There is only one way. I'll give you a warning. There's only one way. It's not through Buddha. It's not through the prophet Muhammad. It's not through the angel Moroni. It is through Jesus Christ. There is only one way to heaven. There's no short circuit. There's no separate path you can take. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. There's only one way, and that's by kneeling at the cross. The cross is everything. Everything that we talk about tonight is centered around the work of the cross. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. You can only be saved through faith. You are only saved through faith. Once again, it is not by our works. All the things that we do right here in this congregation, all the things that we do here, we do out of obedience because we love the Lord. The women wear head coverings here because we've been taught that. The Lord has unfolded that. We partake of communion. The Lord has unfolded those things. He's given us the order of elders and deacons. All these wonderful things that we do. But you're still saved strictly by faith. Only through faith. We do all of these other things. These other things that we do not save us. We do them out of obedience because we love the Lord. Because we love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. If you didn't do those things, you will still get to heaven. But that's another story. We're talking about more than just getting to heaven. We want to enter the kingdom of God. We want to be a part of that kingdom of God. That's one of the steps here. repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, standing at the cross and saying, Jesus, because of what you did at the cross, I recognize these benefits are for me. And saying, dear Lord, because I love you, I will obey you. I will do those things that you asked me to do because you asked me to do them. I will obey you. And then he says of the doctrine of baptisms, and there's a comma, the doctrine of baptisms. That's another step on the road of perfection, the doctrine of baptisms. And then he pauses there with a comma. Baptisms. There's a baptism in water that I talked about tonight. That's a stepping point. If you haven't been baptized in water, I would encourage you to take an opportunity here and be baptized, if not here, when you're home. There's another baptism that we're aware of, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will change you forever. And you know, I don't know what the right word is. I don't know what I don't even know what words to use. Some people call it a refilling. I don't know if you can be refilled. But you can be filled with the Spirit. You yourself can let the fires, the coals, kind of burn down. All your fault. You can do it. And you can also come to the altar and get that reignited, I feel. You can let, if you've neglected, if you've been filled with the Spirit and you've neglected it, but you want to restart that fire, you can get the fire started again. That's what I love about the Lord. You know, it's kind of like we went camping the other day, my sons and grandkids, and they made a great big old bonfire, big beautiful fire, had a wiener roast, and up 8,000 feet where it was chilly. And then we went to bed, and in the morning we got up, and there was like two little sparks. And the kids went over there, and they poked it with some sticks and blew on it and put some other wood on it. And pretty soon it turned into another raging fire. That can happen to you. If you've been filled with the Spirit, but for whatever happened, the philosophy of the world, the pressure of the world, the pressure of work, whatever, you let the coals burn out, you can get reignited again in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look to the Lord tonight, if that's the mind of God, for you to be reignited. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, we're going to let you be filled with the Spirit. If you've been filled with the Spirit, but you've struggled, we're going to let the Lord touch you and reignite that fire. It says in Acts, the second chapter, we talked about briefly the day of Pentecost the other day. It was a literal feast. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, Acts, the second chapter, when the feast of Pentecost had actually physically come, they were all with one accord in one place. I hope tonight we are in one accord and in one place. We know we're in one place. I also believe we're in one accord. Being one accord is not just being in the same room. You can have a lot of people in the same room and they're not in one accord. I believe tonight we're in one accord. They were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Spirit. That was a powerful day in history of the second chapter of Acts. Peter was a tremendous broken man. He preached that great message. He's a little piece of trivia. He's the first human being in all the world's history that had the blessing of preaching the full gospel. Before that day, no one had ever preached Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected before Paul. Peter, he was the first one. He goes on to say in Acts, the second chapter, the 15th verse, "For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day." The first thing that people thought when people were filled with the Spirit, they're speaking in tongues, and they thought they were drunk. And that's kind of a funny analogy. But sometimes being filled with the Spirit is like being drunk. You know, first off, your words aren't necessarily coherent to the world. A drunk person is taken under the power of alcohol, and they become a different person. They become a very stupid person. When someone is filled with the Spirit, the same thing happens to the opposite. They become a different person. They become under the influence of a Spirit. The influence of a Spirit in a good way. By the way, young people, I want to encourage you, never, ever, 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 ever drink. Never drink. Stay away from it. There's nothing good that comes from alcohol. Zero. If you drink, I don't know what the percentage is, but if you start drinking, there's only a small percentage that you will become a raging alcoholic. It's like 2%, 5%. Only 2%, 5% that you'll become a raging alcoholic and sell your soul. But if you never drink, the percentage is zero. Zero. Absolutely no risk. So don't even take a risk. I would encourage you not to. I will pour out my spirit. Okay, these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, these are the last days right now, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. He talked about the last days in the book of Joel. Peter repeated it. We are in those days. We are in the last days. I don't know when the last day is, but we are in the last days. The Bible says, it goes on to say here, so there's a baptism of water. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And how much does it cost? It's free. It's free. You come to the foot of the cross, and you say, Lord, will you make room for me? Can I be filled with the Spirit? And he says, yes, there's room. There is room. The doctrine of baptisms. Moving on here, talked about the doctrine of the laying on of hands. That's another big subject. We can only touch on it. James, the 5th chapter, 13th verse says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. This is what you're supposed to do if you're suffering. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm going to back up. Let him call for the elders of the church. You know, I thank God we're sitting in our prayer meeting. We had a meeting with the elders and deacons this afternoon. I thank God, don't you, for our elders and deacons? I thank God for them. We live in an hour and a day. I believe with all my heart our elders are appointed by God Himself. I believe that our elders belong to a kingdom truth that will take us right into the kingdom of God. I believe that we do not appreciate and fully understand how wonderful the ministry is of local elders and deacons. It is a kingdom principle. I thank God for every pastor in the world that's preaching the gospel. And I pray that God bless every one of them. And I love every one of them. And they belong to God. But I read the book of Revelation. Before the throne, there's 24 elders. I read the Old Testament. Elders throughout the Old Testament. I read the letters of Paul. And he writes to the elders in this city. And the elders in that city. And the elders in this city. I go to the book of Revelation. I read that there's the elders standing before the throne. It is a, how would I say it? It's an eternal office. It's an office that God had in His mind before He even created man, that He revealed just relatively recently to the church, that will take us right into the kingdom of God. I thank God for these men. It's time that we begin to believe that when the elders lay their hands on the sick, that they'll be healed. And if they've committed a sin, it'll be forgiven. Wow! That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I'm convinced that in the church, there are benefits that God has given us that we are living far below what He has given to us. And I'm personally, I'll confess my own faults, I'm looking to God to find a way to get a hold of what God intends to be in the church already, what's already there. It's kind of like that story of the guy that took a long cruise on a ship and had very little money and took all of his money to buy the ticket. He could barely buy the ticket. And he took some bread, some moldy old bread with him, and some water. And he went down to the bottom of the ship for however long it took, several days. Poor. His bread began to mold. He was eating moldy bread and water. Lost a lot of weight, very sickly. The ship finally makes its landing. People are getting off. He couldn't afford the food that was up above where the rich people were. He gets off the ship, and as he gets off, the captain sees him and says, "Sir, I haven't seen you since the day you got on board. Where have you been?" He said, "Well, I couldn't afford any of the food up here, all those buffets and that food that you had, and I was down at the bottom of the ship by myself eating my moldy bread." The captain said, "Well, sir, didn't you know when you bought your ticket, this was all for you? It was all yours. You were satisfied with moldy bread only because you didn't realize this was yours. When you come to the foot of the cross, these things are ours. They're ours." And what we have a hard time realizing and believing is that God wants to give them to us. He wants to give us the power of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the healing that comes from the Holy Spirit. Speaking of the doctrine of laying on of hands, as he says, another one is 1 Timothy 4:14. He says, "Do not," speaking to Timothy, Paul speaking to Timothy, "do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership or the presbytery." In other words, Timothy, there are gifts in you. There are gifts that God has given you. There are ministries in you. And you're only aware of them. They became real to you when the presbytery came and laid their hands on you and prophesied and God spoke to you. Now you be faithful to what the Lord said. This is a tremendous gift. That's part of the doctrine of going on into perfection. We have this in this day and in this hour. Many of you here have been prayed over. By the way, if you've been prayed over, just raise your hand. If sometime in your life, just hold your hand up for a minute. Keep it up. Just keep your hand up for a minute. Don't put it down. Hold it up. I'm just going to ask the elders all to stand up while people are holding their hand up. All the elders, just stand up and just look around. That's all. I just want you to see who's been prayed over and who hasn't. Just so in your mind, you can just see. So that we're just aware. We have to be aware of these things. As the Holy Spirit, just keep your hand up for just a minute longer so that the Lord knows if you've been prayed over. Because as from time to time, the Holy Spirit indicates people to be prayed over. And I just want us just to be kind of aware. Okay, you can be seated. This is another truth, another precious nugget that belongs to that cruise ship, that belongs to the same price that someone else paid on the cross that we could partake of. The ability to be prayed over and prophesied over from time to time. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. So in this one verse, in two verses, he talks about the doctrine of baptism. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. If you want to be baptized in water, you tell us. It's the beginning. And then there's a laying on of hands. Wow! Power comes from the laying on of hands. And of the resurrection of the dead, I can't even touch that. And of eternal judgment, we can't even touch that tonight. All in one verse. God wants to do great things in the church. In the church, there are gifts in the church. There are gifts of healing in the church. There are gifts of faith. There are power gifts. There are gifts of miracles. There are all the other gifts as well. I've been praying in my heart lately that the Lord would kind of help us to energize, I don't know what word to use, these power gifts that are already here. We have so much in this room right here already. There are gifts in this room right here that God has given us, some of the power gifts. And tonight, in just a couple moments, we're going to give an opportunity for you. A number of things. If you want to be saved, we're going to let you come up to the altar and just say, "Lord, I give my life to you." If you want to be filled with the Spirit, we're going to give you the opportunity to come up to the foot of the cross. We're going to make room for you. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you come up here. We're going to pray with you, and the Lord is going to fill you with the Spirit. If your experience with the Lord, for whatever the reason, has grown cool, you need to get it reactivated. You need to stoke the coals. You want to get it on fire again. You want a double portion. We're going to let you come up. The Lord, as long as you're at the foot of the cross, He's making room for you tonight to receive these things. If you need healing, there's room for healing. There's room for healing. When it comes to healing, I believe that we should keep praying. Sometimes we don't get the answer that we want. Sometimes it comes later. Everything that I read about in the scriptures tells us, you just keep praying. If you haven't received that full healing, what do? You don't give up. You just keep praying. Keep praying until God tells you to don't pray anymore. If he tells you to don't pray anymore, then quit praying. But otherwise, you remember the story of the widow and the judge? It starts off 18th chapter of Luke. It says, the Lord gave this parable that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. And then he said, this widow goes to the judge and says, avenge me of my adversary. And the judge says, don't bother me, I'm too busy. She goes back and says, come on, avenge me of my adversary. He says, no, don't bother me, I'm too busy. She keeps doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And finally, he says, you know what? I don't believe in God. I don't even like men. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I sure don't like this widow, but she's bugging me so much, I'm going to give her what she's asking for. Jesus is the one that gave that parable that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. A parable of persistence. That tells me that when God doesn't answer something exactly the way that we ask for it, what do? Keep praying. You don't have to say, well, it must not be the will of God that I get this or that I be healed or whatever it is. You just keep praying unless God tells you to quit praying. So tonight, if you need healing and you've had prayer before, it's okay to come up again. Every time the waters begin to move, stand ready to step into the waters. Remember when the waters moved and when whoever stepped into it was healed? Sometimes it's like that. When the waters begin to move, you step into the waters that God might touch you. I'm going to ask Mike Greif to come up and the Greif group that had prepared a song last night, just kind of come up here and get in place. We're going to have an altar call here in just a minute. And then when we start in just a moment here, we'll ask the brethren to come up and the local elders to come up and pray for ones for whatever the needs are. But I want you to just take a moment right now, begin to look to the Lord about what the Lord might have you to do, what you might want to bring to the cross tonight, what you may want to do. If you just want to dedicate yourself, that's okay, that's good. If you want to pray on behalf of someone else, you can do that too. Those that are in the room that have that ministry of intercession, as I said, you start praying. You pray in your spirit for the ones that are up here. As different ones come up here, if you have that gift of faith, you just stay in your seat, but you look up here and start believing on behalf of the people that are up here. It's an awesome feeling when you're looking to God for a touch and you got people behind you that are praying for you too, for the same thing. You got that gift of faith? Activate it right now. Just activate it. Let it start to flow. You have that gift of healing? If God has said that, you just stay in your seats right now. But you just direct your prayers up here. Just direct your prayers. I don't even know what words to use, but let's just activate it tonight that God can work. We're going to sing a song. The Lord is going to make room for you tonight at the cross. And if you need something, there may be some here that don't want to explain anything. They just want us to pray, but they have some needs, business needs, financial needs, needs for wisdom, for direction. You come to the cross, there are benefits. The Lord wants to answer and take care of those needs tonight. We're on the bottom level of the cruise ship right now, eating moldy bread, and we're about to go to the top floor to the buffet. So everyone stand ready, but it's a joint effort by all of us to come to that point. We're going to sing that song first, and you think about it and look to the Lord, and in a couple of minutes we're going to open the altar up. There's room at the cross.
there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from their sins they have sinned,
stand. We're going to sing that chorus again as a congregation, just the chorus. And if you feel that you want the Lord to touch you in any way, you come up right away, and we're going to pray for you and look for the Lord to touch you.
Thank you.
ask the brethren to come up, the traveling ministries and the local elders. Would you come up, please, and we'll stand ready to begin praying with people. There's room. Testimony.
I just wanted to share what God has done for me and our family as encouragement, because I think of the verse in Psalms chapter 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I'm sure I've felt that there's been many afflictions, but I love the part that the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And I can say the Lord has delivered me, has delivered our family, out of all the afflictions that we've encountered in the last few years. There's lots that I could say, and we kind of talked with some of you individually, and but just kind of briefly, my health hasn't been great the last 4 years. 4 years ago, I had breast cancer. Then I had colitis and had my colon removed and a whole bunch of surgeries. And then last September, I had just was recovering from my second colon surgery. And I developed a pain in my abdomen. And I went, you know, to get it checked out. I didn't think it was anything too significant. And I had some tests done, and then they pulled Steve and I into a room, and they said to me, or to us, "We're sorry, we have really bad news for you. Your entire abdomen is filled with metastatic cancer, and you just have a couple months to live." we were shocked. But when I had breast cancer 4 years ago, I got diagnosed just before North Carolina camp, and it was a real question. Should we go to camp? Should we not? You know, do we need to expedite treatment or, you know, any of these things? But we really felt strongly that camp was where we needed to be at that time. And I went up for prayer, and it was prophesied over me at the front that God would heal me from the cancer and it would never come back. And so in September, when I got this news, I was confused, very conflicted, but, you know, I remembered that promise that God had made to me that, you know, cancer wouldn't come back. So I was in the Emerge. That's where we got this news, and they wanted to do some more testing. But as soon as we got that, Steve got on the phone and called our local elders. He called my parents and said, please start praying for Megan. This is what we've been told. So then in the Emerge, I had a second round of tests, and they came back, and the physician said to me, you know, considering how the first set of tests look, I can't believe how these new tests look. This is the best case scenario. You don't have cancer everywhere. You just have it in two spots. So he's like, and I think we can do something about this. And so they kind of set up lots of appointments and more tests. And I was booked to have surgery to remove these tumors in December. And it was kind of a complicated affair because they were going to try and do my last bowel surgery at the same time. And I was coordinating between four different surgeons, and you know, it just, things weren't coming together. And as a family, we prayed, and I was actually really feeling like I needed some more imaging, because still laying hold to that promise that God had made to me that I would never have cancer again. And so we prayed, and the very next day I got a call from the MRI department saying, you know, we have an MRI book for you. And it was like a week before this surgery was to be scheduled. So I went through with that. And then a few days later, my doctor called me and she said, you don't need surgery. There is no cancer there. So I thank God for that. You know, it's just an incredible touch in my body. And since then, I've had another surgery. It was the last of my bowel surgeries. And God, and actually before my, I've had breast cancer surgery and three bowel surgeries. After my second bowel surgery, in our local assembly, I went up for prayer for the surgery, and it was prophesied then that God would give me complete healing of all the bowel issues that I've had. And after this last surgery, I'm not 100%, but I feel like I'm about 98%. So I know that last 2% is on its way. And, you know, it's just been incredible health challenges, and God has been so faithful. He's filled our hearts with peace. In all of this, Steve lost his job, and he's been out of work for almost 2 years. And I'm so pleased to report, for those who may not have heard already, but on Tuesday he got a job offer for his dream job. And we are so thrilled. And, you know, just all these different things that seem to have come at us in over the last 4 years. We had some issues with Caleb and schooling, and God, one after one, God has answered our prayers, and he's been so faithful. So just again, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of us, or out of them all.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm sorry, I don't often have a feeling like this, but I just had this burning, like, we need to sing, "To Bless Your Heart, O Lord, Is My Desire." And I'm not even sure if I know all the words, and I was trying to think, like, why this would be so strong for me to sing this, but is there anybody that would like to come and help me?
To bless your heart, Lord God, is my desire. To touch my life and set my heart on fire. To see your hand of love in all
Nicholas, would you come up here for just a moment and prepare to close the meeting in prayer? Would you just come up here? We're going to have announcements in just a minute. Thank you, Megan, for that testimony. We've been praying with Megan, all of us, for a long time, haven't we? So this is a group prayer, and we rejoice. When one member weeps, we all weep. When they rejoice, we all rejoice. And we rejoice with their family. My apologies to the brethren. When Sister Hazel came up, I didn't see you come up when we started the testimony. So we meant to stand with you in prayer. Please forgive me. That was my mistake there. So we support you and everyone here that needs a touch tonight. Before we close in prayer, do we have announcements? No announcements? Snacks over there? Anything?
Snacks, same place.
Okay. Nicholas, would you close, please?
Dear Jesus, I thank you for all the wonderful things that you've been doing in this camp, and I pray that you continue to bless us and to flow through us each and every day and in the services and even throughout the fellowship. And I thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you've given to people tonight, and I pray that you just continue to bless people's lives, and I pray that we'd be able to bless you too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're dismissed. Thank you.